right.
Tell you how the devil works. Morgan made a comment, thought about this. Hey, so the devil would love to have your children. It's no coincidence the devils in this world want your children too. Heard Adrian Rogers on the radio this morning. I haven't listened to him in probably 10 years. We don't have another radio by us. But he says the devil's a pervert.
That's right.
Yeah.
I had a man break fellowship with me because he was in a meeting one time called the devil a fag. I've all been out of shape about that. He said, well, he is. He's a pervert. Man broke fellowship with me over that. No joke. I said, what in the world is he? Little fluffy birthday cake? Devil wants your children. Perverts want your children.
Yeah.
Sure do.
Devil wants you girls. Perverts want you girls. And some of you are feeding them. Feeding them with your wiggling around, your licentious dress, a little flip of the hair, your godless attitudes. Just sitting there feeding the lusts of devils. We are screwed up in the head.
Right.
Because of sin.
Yes, sir.
Lust, when it's finished, is going to bring forth sin.
Yes, sir.
When you get done with sin, you know what happens? You die.
Yep.
And that's the reality of sin. There's inward sins that we can hide, coddle. Here's the preacher preached. I thought, you know, there'll be people here that'll find fault with something he said, so they don't have to listen to anything he said. And that's just human nature.
Right, yes, sir.
I didn't say saved folk, I said human nature.
Right.
That's that natural man. That's his instinct. Find fault, shut off everything the man of God says. He beat his children with a belt. I wish some of you would.
Amen.
It's a whole lot easier. You might be able to hear in church sometimes. Well, he did this. They did this. If he wants to block out the preacher.
Right.
Listen, I don't even want to use the term, brethren, but the simple-minded, the carnal folk, they attack you. You know, it's water off a duck's back. You're the guy playing religion, playing church, and he takes little pot shots all the time, and sows discord, you know.
Right.
Buy him a cheeseburger, let him go home and whine. But he's nipping at your children.
That's right.
Yep. Don't disregard him. He's nipping at your children. Quite a few years ago in a meeting, the man preached, and then another man came up and was, I noticed, and somebody else had noticed too, he's kind of nipping at that preacher's son. Making little comments, little, you know, really correcting some things that his daddy had said and just kind of chipping away. That same man had me in to preach one day, and his wife, when I got done, made a little comment about how loud it was. And you know me, when somebody complains about how loud the preaching is, immediately I just know they're carnal. You can just say amen on that.
Right. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
You say preachers sweat too much. You're just carnal. Why? Because you're looking at carnal things. You don't see the kingdom of God.
Right.
Amen on that. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, if I was court, I'd run a lap right there. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Court man should.
Carnal. Carnal.
Right.
I don't like how he did this. Carnal, feeding that impulse.
Right.
Feeding that flesh. You know, a fool followeth his own heart. And your heart's desperately wicked. What is a fool? He's wicked.
Right.
Is he not? He's following his heart. His heart's desperately wicked. Boys, little girls. Boy, I just feel where? In my heart. I see it in my heart. I sense it in my heart. Or they say, he has such a good heart. I'm like, the most vile thing about that boy is his heart. That's what you like.
He brought me flowers. He has a good heart. No, he's just a lust-filled sweat pig is all he is. He has nothing to do with a good heart. Oh, he bought me clothes and hammocks today.
Well, I'm not trying to ruin the mate. I ain't never seen my niece spending $3 at a time. She's cheap. Not that genetically. She got a cart full of stuff today. I said, my goodness. I said, you shopping? One of her sisters told her, I said, oh, Timmy's buying.
Love that boy.
Meanwhile, Brother Morgan's shoes are wore out. My shoes are wore out. Brother Vernon's shoes are wore out. My suit's falling off my back. I got snags in my ties, stains on my shirt, but she got all new clothes. That's all right. That don't bother me one bit. Amen. Well, the Morgan, you want to go to Allen Edmonds tomorrow? We know who's going to take you. Okay, get you some shoes. I don't desperately wicked heart. It's going to deceive you to the day you die.
Yeah.
A desperately wicked heart is going to throw you off the day you die. And you got to tell your heart to shut up.
Yes, sir.
You're obligated. The preacher said it's in your will to believe this book.
That's right.
And I know people, they're lost without Christ. They don't think they're wicked. But they're following their heart.
Right.
They don't think they're wicked. Don't think they're vile. Still a good person. Problem is you look in the mirror.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
The mirror's the biggest liar there is.
Yep.
I quit looking in the mirror, unless it's dark. That mirror don't lie too long. Girls, you get older, it don't lie no more. You're not looking in this mirror, that's the problem.
That's exactly
right. Oh, I'm a good person. People love me. Brother, I got a confession to make. Well, he said about confessing. Some of the ladies were going to the thrift store. We didn't have time to go because we had to go there to choke and puke with you all. So I asked them, I said, can you go? I knew they had a lot of records in that mega thrift. I said, can you all go through there and find me some old George Jones gospel albums? They found a lot of gospel albums. There wasn't no George Jones or Merle Haggard in there. They're so popular, nobody gets rid of them, I guess, around here.
That's right.
By us, some stores are filled with gospel albums because they know we listen to gospel music. Amen. Can't find a rap album to save your life. It's funny, you go to the store, all you can find is kids' movies. In the DVD section, 15,000 kids' movies. They don't get rid of their filth. They don't get rid of their R-rated and X-rated stuff. A lot of folks need to get saved, by the way. Just need to get born of God, put that filth away, put that godlessness out of your life.
Right, preacher.
A secret life, you got's what you are. Right. Can't admit that.
Come on.
That life on your phone is what you are.
Sir.
That life at night is what you are.
Sir.
Well, I'm pretty smart. People don't think that, but I watch young people, buddy, and I watch them. Usually about 12, 13, they start to drift. Their hearts are far from this place. Don't pay a lick of attention in church. Care less about the things of God. I watch them most of the time to get 14, 15 years old. They know how to play church. They flip that little switch about 16. They sing, they smile. Boy, they know how to play the part. They're desperately wicked. Hearts are desperately wicked. So I'm sitting back, I don't know what to preach. I'm not like Brother Morgan. I don't plan ahead for years what to preach. And, you know, I know he'd schemed this for years.
Yeah.
Brother Bernard's got outlines in the next year. Good ones, too. Kind of with Donnie Harvey, got outlines in his Bible. He ain't never preached one yet.
That's right.
Amen. He never got past point one.
Never.
I remember that one time, I might have been in Tennessee. He said, I'm preaching on men of a baser sort, mobs. He said, I got 4 points. I have a clue what he preached. But it wasn't mobs. It wasn't men of baser. It just entitles all that was. That's when I started titling my sermons, best sermon you ever heard. The Rufus Edmondson told me at the camp one time. He said, hey, you're in the sound. I'm preaching why there's dung on your face. Put that title on the CD. Don't put no stupid title you all make up there that you're not paying attention. Put on the CD, there's dung on your face. I said, well, praise the Lord for that. So I started telling me the best sermon you ever heard. So I was doing the internet, putting this
best sermon you ever heard. Part three.
Psalm chapter 10. The question asked in the beginning of this psalm is, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Now we understand according to Scripture why the Lord standeth afar off. His eyes are hid from us. His face is turned from us. He standeth afar off from us because of our sin. He said, O Lord, why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? Why does God hide himself? Now listen, I didn't use the word seems to. Why does God hide himself in times of trouble? Right. Your testimony this week, or you're denied of God or you're not. What is nigh unto God? We sang it already this week. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. Why? There's nothing between you and him. And if he's standing afar off, why is he standing afar off? Times of trouble. By the way, people will cling to the smallest things to convince themselves that God is near them. It's a beautiful sunset tonight. All those hues of red and orange and pink. And I just knew that God was nearby. Well, you realize the drunk came out of the bar about 5 o'clock on his way home, had about 9 beers, slammed him down quick, got in his car, looked at sunset, and said, boy, that's a beautiful sunset. God must be near to me. I sent some of you a message this week. I wasn't making light of it. I was serious as could be. And a little guardian angel in my children's room. She was beautiful. Problem is, she had too much cleavage showing, so we had to kind of hide her. And there were dolphins leaping around her feet coming out of the ocean. And she was watching over my children in that bedroom. You realize some of us would kind of laugh about that, but that's the night my daughter woke up and threw up 20 times. I don't believe that's a coincidence. We're in a rental house, so I would have thrown that thing out in the yard already. Still contemplating it. But you realize people cling to those things?
Yes, sir.
These signs, these wonders.
Right.
You realize God pays the bills of wicked people?
Right.
God will provide money for... He does good because he's God. And I've said it many times before I said it here, but repeat it myself as I'm prone to do. I used to preach the goodness of God that leads to repentance was the goodness that God did. And I finally learned that the Lord said he is good and doeth good. God's just good.
Right.
He doesn't have to do anything to be good.
Amen.
And the goodness of God is not in what he does. The goodness of God is in who he is.
Right.
And that's the goodness that leadeth thee to repentance. He rained on my neighbor's driveway. He rained on my driveway last night. I've never gone out there and looked and there's a division right down between the yards and little rain clouds over the McVeigh house and pretty little rainbows twinkling in the sky. Never seen it. You know why it rains on the just, the unjust? God's good to lost people.
Right.
God will do wonders in their lives that they might see that he's God. And people will cling to that as proof that God's not far from them. Your little trivial test. Now, listen, I'm kind of on a kick with this. You all bear with me. These little trivial testimonies about absolutely nothing. You know, that little hangnail. And I'm not putting off. My pastor said, made this statement to me quite a while back. He says, it's amazing. People go and do everything the doctor told them to do. Everything the doctor told them to do, week after week, month after month. And they get praise how God healed them. Now, don't let that bother you. My pastor said it. I'm just quoting it. Look how God's blessed me. No, you did everything the doctor told you to do. God healed me of my scurvy when I started taking vitamin C. They've known that since Bible times. Look what God's done. And they'll cling to that as a sign that God is near them. One of the sad things, brothers, to me, this is a sorrow to me. I've watched the womb of wicked women open. And godly women, their womb's closed. I don't understand those things. But I know wicked women that'll take that womb being open as a sign that they're nigh unto God.
Right.
Well, let's take that and go down to the mall down here in Winston. Let's go down there on Monday when the EBT comes in, the checks come in the mail. And let's go down there and find the moms that have three or four children, not a daddy. They're all different colors and different shapes and sizes. She's played the whore with everybody in town, and she's going to go tell people how God has blessed her to open her womb in fornication.
Yes, sir.
Everybody's looking for a sign how God is near to them. Quote, tell us, this is how I know that God is close to me. Look what God has done for me. Now, let me be real clear about that. When God does something for you, it is distinctly God.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to say this. It's personal with God.
Amen.
Now, I can say, God sent me a wife. But I've heard that. And I've watched it. You knew God didn't send that wife.
I'm not trying to be throw off, trying to be ugly about that. I know a lot of preachers said that. And then when their wives took off and went back and got wicked in the world, you're sitting scratching your head going, well, that's a hard thing to understand. And I've watched some people, God sent them three or four wives. A couple of them still in ministry. One of them in your town. God sent them so many wives, that's blessed of God. God keeps giving them wives.
All these signs, how I'm close to God, I'm walking with God, God is nigh unto me. Look at the blessings of my life. And your blessings are no different than any other wicked person in this world has blessings of God.
You realize a monkey can climb a tree and pick a coconut. God sent a coconut our way. The next man goes under the tree, coconut hits him in the head, he curses God.
You know, everybody, we kind of choking on this, you okay? I'm not trying to put off. You better know it's God.
That's right.
It's not because of who you are. It's because of who he is. It's not because of what you've done. It's because of what he's done. That's the way a lot of folks are with salvation. They think they deserve salvation.
Uh-oh.
Well, God's no respecter of persons. God doesn't save you because of who you are.
That's right.
God's never saved one sinner because of who they are, what they've done, or where they come from. There's no pedigree good enough. There's no life good enough. There's no holiness good enough. God saves you because of who his dear son is.
That's right.
If God gives you anything good, it's because of his son. Oh, God's blessed me because I'm a preacher. You ever hear that? Just extra rainbow blessings. Listen, brother, I'm not like you. I don't have the boldness to pray in a diesel. I just don't. I pray for gas engines, and not diesel. I just don't have that boldness, Brother John. But can I say this without putting off of what he preached at all? You have not because you ask not. Did you realize I got wicked neighbors that got four-wheel drive diesel trucks?
And I don't.
Is it my prayer life?
Could be. It'd be a shame for them to go to hell thinking, ha, I got a diesel truck and that preacher didn't get nothing.
I got this and that preacher didn't get nothing. Look how you blessed us because of who we are. And look at this poor, struggling little family.
No shoes on their feet, no clothes on their back. Struggling to get along under the judgment of God. And here we are, blessed of God. You Pharisee. I said, you Pharisee. He said, how do you know that? Because the Pharisees won't lift one finger to help with the burdens they've laid on those people.
That's right.
It's a family I love. They're dear to my heart. Pastor Asquith, they're in his church. Most of you know them. Brother Morgan does not. I was there the first time they walked into that church on a Thursday night. The week Brother Dale Morey got saved. I mean, tank tops, shorts, tattoos, skin showing, unclean, unkempt hair. I'm saying this, they may be listening. I said it to their face, said it numerous times, said it right in front of them.
told her to her face in person before I ever said it from the pulpit. She'll not have orders screaming, horrible little brats. Still, especially that little girl, Katie. Oof. In my heart, I said, that family will never be back in the church again. But most people thought, I hope that family never comes back again. Amen and amen. Boy, some of you so irritated last night, that little screaming girl. And puke coming out your nostrils. You say, how do you know? Because I was. You know what I say? Give the preacher volume. Give the preacher volume. Amen. Give the preacher volume. Finally, he caved in. I know he had to cave in. Can't compete. I've been in meetings with screaming children, snotting those children throwing up on people. You know, I tell my wife, she goes, there were children in the nursery with snotty noses. And I said, yeah, sometimes put our kids in the nursery with snotty noses. We'll get them back. It's okay. It all balances out. By the way, that family, the Montgomery family, seated in the house of God now for 12 years.
Amen.
Never did get out of church. Always have come back. Watch that mama get saved. Glory to God, wonderfully saved. The meeting, I guess, but 7 years ago, probably by now.
7 years ago, she got in.
Watch them living for God. Amen and amen on that. But little do I know. And there's still people that think they're better than them.
That's right.
There's still people who think they're better than that. Well, God's blessed us. You ever been in the house fire and heard somebody talk about the blessings of God? Well, this is everything we own. Thank the Lord for this fire. That's what he said. Why hadest thou thyself in time of trouble? Here's why. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Mm-hmm. That old desperately wicked heart. And you'll follow your heart because of your pride. You know, it's one thing to act out on the physical things, but the worst part of pride is when it's those intellectual things that you've contrived in your thinking that you're so proud of. And your thought life, by the way, it'll conjure up all kinds of vile imaginations. Evil imaginations. And then you'll hold them because you're the one that thought it up. This must be right. Surely this must be good. Hey, I had the vision. Therefore, it had to be right. I'm the one that saw this take place. It had to be right. I'm the one that's seen the blessings of God in my life. It has to be right. It has to be God. Nothing else can do this, and it's all imagination. Because God's still far off. But yet that goodness of God leads thee to repentance. You know why God's good to you? Because he can't help it.
No, right.
He can't stop being good to you. He's good to people that curse his name.
That's right.
He's good to people that mock his name.
Right.
He's long suffering to us.
Amen. Yes, he is.
And he's still not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I guarantee you this, and everybody has a different story, different life, different background. Not one time as a teenager did I thank the Lord for the good home I grew up in. I should have.
Yeah. Right.
I should have said, Lord, thank you for the good home.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for the poverty.
Right.
Thank you that we were poor and learned how to be poor and be content. But I wasn't content. Everything my mom tried to do, feed us, clothe us, was never enough, never satisfied. I was bitter. Couldn't be like the other kids. My mom had this crazy rule. If I had to go, wanted to go to basketball practice, I had to put gas in the car. Unbelievable. The other boys on the team, their moms, dads buying them cars, putting gas in the car, buying them Air Jordans, buying them all the fancy clothes. Everything they needed was given to them. I was bitter over those things, bitter over that. I thought somehow God had forsaken me. But you know the marvel? God reached down through the misery of my life and the grossness of my sin, the awfulness of me. And God was good to me.
Amen.
Amen.
I lived in a little rundown trailer outside of Sierra Falls, Maryland. I mean a cesspool. Literally a cesspool behind the window. In the summer, I had to close my back window. It stunk so bad. It was a rat hole. It was filthy. The snow blew through the cracks in the winter. No air conditioning. And I lived out there forsaken, lived out there bitter, lived out there in misery. And God was still good to me.
Amen.
I hated God, cursed God. God was good to me.
Amen.
The problem was I had all these contrived ideas that I was near God. I had all this thinking I was near God. Mm-hmm. That lady came up to me in Staples. I worked there part-time trying to make money to survive, get out of debt. And the lady came up to me that day and she said, yeah, you've heard me talk. I had the bangles all over her arms and, you know, goofy hair and ribbons in her hair and these long flowing dresses. She looked like these independent Baptists down south anymore. Looked like a circus clown dressed up. They're modest, but their clothes are so tight. Amen. They couldn't be modest if they tried to be, but they think they're godly because their dress goes to the floor, but their hearts are wicked as hell. She comes up to me. She goes, I perceive that you're a spiritual man. Yes, I am, lady. How did I define that? My thinking. You give somebody counsel, and in your thinking, you go, boy, I gave them good counsel. You know what my favorite is when you do that, and you know, man, I gave them good counsel. And their pastor calls you. Brother, I told them the opposite. And you're going, oh. I do believe in pastoral authority.
Amen, sir.
I'll say, well, you ought to just do what your pastor did. Whatever your pastor told you, you might want to do that. I'm such an idiot. I tell Timothy stuff. They go, well, Pastor Black, her daddy, he said this. And I just go, oh. I just shut my mouth. I'll tell him nothing. You can't tell him anything now. I'm half brain dead. All these ideals and all this thinking. I'm close to God. I'm spiritual. How many of those men called to preach? What is an epiphany? It's a dream today. They're out of ministry. Some of them have never preached. Some of them renounce their call. Some of them just drift off into oblivion. Some of them go back into the life of sin. But at some time in their life, they were convinced they were called to preach. Our first Red Hot Preacher Night, 2002, we had 9 preachers. They made me go first because they knew I'd be the worst. That's a true story. I get to go last tonight being the worst. Isn't that great? The first shall be last, Brother Morgan. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. 9 of us. If I had a cassette tape of the message for $1 million, I probably would sell it to Brother Bernie. I'd be so embarrassed. But you realize 7 of them never preached. They preached once, twice, divorced, in sin,
right.
In jail.
That's right.
Godless, wicked. 7 out of 9 preaching boys.
Exactly right.
Where do you think they got that from?
Right.
Thinking more of themselves than they ought to think. Mm-hmm. Why are some of you bound for hell? You think a whole lot more of yourself than God does.
Truth.
Yeah. I'm such a good person. Yes, you are. I watch people spend their lives trying to get people to like them. And they still go to hell.
That's right.
The wicked in his pride, there's this problem to persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. What is that persecution of the poor? It's the creation of devices to keep them poor. Covetousness, greed. You look at these street corner beggars, and I know they're a scourge on society. It's such an awful thing to have street corner beggars, but you realize if people gave money, they wouldn't be out there too long. My sister one time hired a guy. He had a sign that said, we'll work for food. She put him to the test. He came work for food. She gave him some money in addition to it.
So she said, you know, I'll do that again. She hired a guy, said, we'll work for food. He said, all right. So they got in the car. She calls her husband, keeps him on speakerphone. He's a cop the whole way there. She puts him in the backyard. She goes in the house to get something, comes out, the guy's gone. He didn't want to work for food. People, oh, there's such a scourge on society, such a scourge. And you realize we have people like that in church.
Uh-oh.
They're just leeches on the church.
Come on.
Do you think God's worried about that? They just take, never get back. They drain the resources, they drain the emotion, they drain the spirituality, they'll kill a service. Amen and amen. I know people can kill a service with a testimony quicker than most people in this world could ever do. I know people in church can kill a service a lot faster than a lost person sitting there will. You just say amen on that.
Uh-oh.
They think they got to be heard.
That's right.
Yet God in His goodness and in His mercy, He'll allow them to run in the vain imagination of their mind.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
They're intellectual. Let me tell you what I think. You know, that's the old adage, you know, opinions are armpits. We know that. But everybody's got that opinion, that thought. You pastors, thank God for you. Amen. Like Brother Morgan, never been that lonely or bored. People come and say, Pastor, why don't we do this? And you say, well, why don't you do it? Well, I thought somebody else could do it. No, you do it. No. And then, by the way, the idea just goes aside. Pastor, believe it's the Lord's will for us to do this. Well, go ahead and do it then. Well, let me think about that a little bit. You know, folks, just, they get all ideas. And not an ounce of God in it. It's just an idea. It's no different than the world. We used to have meetings. They say, we're going to have an idea meeting. And listen, I was just such a jerk. So I wonder if I didn't get fired. And I'd just sit there and I'd listen to people's ideas. And I remember the guy stood up. True story. He goes, I need to ask a question. He goes, are these tentative dates set in stone? And we're sitting there going, what? What? But he always has had ideas. I think we should do this. I think we should do this. What? And they were never logical. They never made a bit of sense. Kind of like church. Kind of like me moderating a meeting. That didn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to me either. The preacher already said tonight, sometimes you just hear the voice of God and you need to do what God wants. That's so foreign to people. Why did he do that? It could be he's listening. I was with Sammy one time. Got down on the pulpit, stopped. You know how you do. That thought crosses mind. He goes back to the other side of the church, stands down in front of a young man. And he goes, how about these ladies going up there in that tanning bed with all them lesbians? I'm in the tanning bed with lesbians. A godly lady wouldn't be in a tanning bed with some lesbians. That boy hit the altar. True story. I said, he must have been up there with all them lesbians.
Yeah.
Don't let that bother you. Amen. You go to tanning bed, I don't. We're not supposed to send me preach at least. I watch this old man of God in tune with God to get down in front of a young man, preach on fornication, eyeball. She can run out of the church doing that.
Yeah.
I've seen those old men of God get down things I knew that I couldn't dare preach because I had too much knowledge. And people would say, well, he just knows about situation. Some folks, even recently, do that.
Right. Yeah, come on.
He's been talking to people. That's what people don't know God say. Because everything they contrive in their mind.
Right.
They understand the work of God.
That's right.
He's been ministering to all the governments.
Right.
I've had preachers over the years, I mean more than two handfuls. They've had to get up in the pulpit and say, Brother McVeigh knows nothing. I've told him nothing going on in this church. Done it here. He said to the pulpit and said, folks, I have not, Brother McVeigh, have I talked to you? And I went, about steak or dinner or something, no, whatever, you know.
Hey, folks still aren't convinced it's God. They don't believe a man can walk with God.
Right.
Somebody's talked about our family. Somebody's told us about us. They don't believe it's from God.
Because your own evil imaginations didn't conjure it up, you can't believe it.
Yeah, sir.
Holy Ghost has your number, buddy.
That's right.
Well, Morgan says some things tonight. There's folks in here I know some things about. I couldn't say it. They go, well, he's just directing that at me. Brother Morgan said a couple things tonight. I didn't even say amen. I went, ooh, man.
That's right. Sir, buddy.
You just say amen on that.
Come on.
Right. Yes, sir.
If it hits between the eyes, take it for what it
amen.
Is.
Amen. That's good.
Well, Brother McFay was probably talking to Brother Morgan. The only thing we talked about today was John Aspen. That's the only person we talked about today.
Amen. Glory to God.
That's right.
Yes.
Amen. I didn't talk to Brother Vernon today. He said to make fun of John Morgan and John Asquith.
Man.
Just talking to folk gossip about it. Ha 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 ha. That's what people think preachers do. That's all they do is talk about people. Mm. He ain't said nothing about boo about one person in here. Are you listening? And John Morgan, he was a no-no. You just met him. So if he said something that rocked your clock, did you ever stop and consider it's God?
Right.
No, it's outside the realm of your thinking.
Yeah.
That's impossible.
Oh, that's good, Richard.
That's impossible. They can't do that. After I got saved, I never thought that again.
Right.
I used to be scared to go to church. When I first got saved, I lived on the altar. I lived on the altar.
Amen.
Exactly. But we'd have preachers come in there, and they'd preach, and all of a sudden, I'd go, somebody lost me. And they'd go, and they'd make a statement, I'd just run down to the altar. Amen.
Exactly.
As a Pentecostal woman come in and preach, yeah, anyway, I'd run down to the altar. Be a Pentecostal woman preacher. By the way, brother, Michael's house, 7:30 tomorrow morning, we're at Pentecostal service.
Glory.
Amen. You make it over there. Hey, we're going to play Pentecostals, Michael. Amen. A lot of folks here been looking to crack your kids in the head. Amen.
Imaginations. Vain thoughts. And you just can't believe it's God.
Right.
It doesn't line up with your reason.
Yep.
Doesn't line up with your thoughts. Doesn't line up with your ways.
Because your thinking is destroying you. That's why God requires repentance.
That's right.
I've had people say, "Preacher, are you trying to hurt me?" Yeah. That's why I surrender to ministry. I can just brutalize people from the pulpit, you know. Kick them in the, especially a church you don't know. They go, "Preacher, are you trying to hurt me? What are you talking about? I have no clue what you're talking about."
I want some of you to listen. I've had people over the years come up and say, "Brother, you remember you preached such and such, such and such?" And I'm going, "No." There's one place I went back and listened to the tape. I never said anything that man said about me. Not one thing. He said, "You said this, you said this, you said this." I listened to the recording. I didn't say one thing.
Try.
Got a message this week. Somebody formulated my thoughts and my preaching and then put their spin on it and then attacked it with verses. After they put their spin on my thinking, that's vain imagination. Well, I think this is what he really means. So then they attack. Stuff I've never said, stuff I don't believe.
That's right.
I remember a man one time he told me, he said, "You preached that the soul of Jesus Christ was in hell for 3 days and three nights." I said, "Sir, why would I preach something I don't believe?" He said, "I heard you say it." And then, by the way, the holy grail of human writ. My wife wrote it down. That's got to be true. It's got to be true. I want to go.
Can I see the notes? It must be extra inspiration. Amen. New writ of scripture. She wrote it down.
Or, and I didn't get it, but I had this beautiful outline. I had three poems in that illustration.
Praise the Lord.
Hey, man, I was going to talk about the polishing again. I said, man, try to explain that to Brother Morgan. He ain't figured it out yet.
No.
Try to help him.
Yep.
This is really the Holy Writ. Well, she said. Or he said.
That's right.
There goes your thinking.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what the man of God said. Doesn't matter what the word of God said. This is what she said. People said to me before I preached, they go, you know, my pastor believes differently. And listen, I'm not cocky enough to go, well, your pastor's wrong, because I don't know what they're talking about. And I'll say, well, what do you mean? And they'll explain something, I'll just show them what the scripture says. And they'll go, well, my pastor doesn't believe that. Well, my pastor doesn't believe it. You know, and there's some folks got on board with this thing, the doctrine of the soul of Jesus Christ. They don't believe it one iota in their heart. This is kind of popular believer right now.
Come on.
Among certain churches, including this. But in their heart, they don't believe. They'll fight for it, they don't believe it.
Yeah.
Had a man this year, he wanted to fight me over his wife's, not physically, but he may have, over his wife's hair cover. This is what he said. He said, brother, when I got married, he said, if you hadn't tried to, you know, or he said, my wife didn't wear a hair cover, but if you tried to get that hair covered off her mouth, it's true words, he said, she would fight you for it. And I said, is that her meek or quiet spirit?
I love it.
Now, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I really did want to know. He said, if you fight a woman, none of her hair covering, no, but she's dumb enough to fight it. Over her hair covering. And God gave her hair to cover her.
That's right.
Isn't that amazing? Screwed up thinking.
Yes, sir.
Messed up thinking.
Right.
I remember going to elementary school. My sisters and I would have to stay against the wall. They put their arms out like this and then measure how far that skirt was below the knee. If it was at the knee or an inch below the middle of the knee, they sent them home. In hindsight, I remember male teachers measuring.
Just
throwing that out there for good measure. Can I ask you a question? Is it modest or is it immodest? You trying to make show of the flash? By the way, I'm just being real honest. You ladies gain some weight sometimes. You'll ask that it make show of the flesh. You're just not used to wearing clothes that don't fit anymore. God, give me a new wardrobe and quit and start dying, one of the two. And I'm not being ugly about it. I'm just being honest about
that. That's right.
You have to often die. You ladies with child, you got to buy new clothes earlier than you think. Is it modest or is it immodest? It's not the legality of it. But listen, I watch some little girls go, he was talking about playing the game. I watch some little girls go play skirt measure. They chew each other out. Your skirt's too short. And my sister's doing it. Your skirt's too short. And there's a whole realm of people, from the Amish to the Mennonites to the Brethren to the Baptists. They'll measure a skirt. But not in here.
Come on.
Yeah.
Right.
It's all a thought process. One of the things I've probably been attacked for personally by people, individually in churches, upset, angry, mama's upset, daddy's upset, grandma's upset. That idea of having a double life.
Uh-oh.
What you live here is not what you live outside the walls of this church. By the way, it is a plague. I've been places before, they'll tell me, hey, you see the pastor's wife in town, she's not going to look like she looks here. They tell you that. I remember a man one time he said, you ladies want to model how to dress? He said, you look at my wife. It's been weeks since I saw his wife in an apple tree, a pair of blue jeans. And I said, no, I'm not going to let your wife tell my wife how to dress. No, sir. It's just words to people. They've heard fluff so long. They've heard the deceit
right,
so long.
Yeah.
They've heard opinions so long. They have no clue what God said.
Sure, buddy.
And they've conjured up their opinions on everything. That's why the prating fool shall fall. I preached a message years ago. You remember Richard Owen up in Virginia? I preached to Brother Rich 15 plus years ago. He gave me Brother Jeff Clemens up for a revival. They had me about mad Friday night, so I preached a message. I've fallen because I can't shut up. That's what some of you are.
That's right. and talk your way into hell. Every mouth may be stopped. The whole world will come guilty before God.
Right.
What did Job do? He laid his hand upon his mouth. What did he do when he laid his hand upon his mouth? He didn't speak another word for 3 chapters.
Amen.
And when he did, he said, I repent. Sackcloth and ashes. That's first words. I repent. These are things too wonderful for me. But I knew not. The prating fool that can't stop talking.
Opinions, ideas, thoughts, reasonings, all these things based on their own imagination.
Right.
Let me tell you what I think. In verse 3, the wicked boasts of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. He boasteth of his heart's desire. Let me just say this, mamas. Love that's for your children, for your grand. This is what I want for them. How come nobody today says, you know, Brother McVeigh, I'd love for my children to go to Africa and be missionaries. Boy, I'd love for my children to go to Belize and be a missionary. Brother, you don't hear that. Listen, you may hear it from the Lord. I don't hear it anywhere. Brother, would you pray that my children will want to be missionaries? You know why? Because no mamas have that heart's desire. Would you pray my children get a good job? I hear that a lot.
That's right.
Would you pray about this college decision for my children?
No. Yeah. Just being honest with you.
By the way, I don't pray for people looking for jobs. You want to get a good job but aren't looking for a job. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
McDonald's is too good for you. You probably don't want to work too hard. Right.
Just letting you know that.
Yep.
By the way, I think if I need to be humbled enough, I'd go work at McDonald's. Wouldn't bother me one.
That's right. Yes, sir. Come on.
I got the voice for it. I had to choose McDonald's. I think you order, please. That's a large beef. I keep going to try.
I know. You know what they hear on my end? I'm back.
That's Bojangles. Well, I'm not trying to put it off. So Bojangles, like, yeah, what you need? I couldn't do that job.
What you want?
Everybody's got these ideas of what their heart desires for their children, for their families, for themselves. No concern with God.
Try to preach.
How many young people sat in the ministry of preaching how to find a wife? They went out to fall into lust, find a wife.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
A whole lot of them. Good God gave you the horseback.
Yes, sir.
She's a racehorse back then. Now she's an old workhorse.
Clydesdale.
Leave that alone.
I'm done. I'm walking.
Don't ask me.
Yeah.
Listen, I've had young ladies sit in service just like this. And I know before the Lord, I've gone in there and preached on how to find a godly husband. And they walked out, excuse me, sir, we're preaching.
Thank you.
They walked into a service. I preached exactly what I'm talking about. Within months, they've been out living in the world, shacked up with some guy. We know a girl that ran off her sister to make fun of this guy, picking on him. No, you're going to marry. No, you're going to marry. No, you're. Well, she actually married him.
Oh, yes.
Probably about the biggest losers I've ever known. A man who switched could not receive correction.
And that's one of the most dangerous people in the world. He could not receive instruction.
I told him point blank. I said, why is your glory selling herself on the streets? He said, you can't blame me for her. I said, yes, I can. You stole her from your daddy. I didn't steal her. She wanted to come with me. I said, son, you stole her from her daddy. True story. You stole her from her daddy.
Godless women.
No, I did not. He starts crying.
They're thinking. Imagination, what they want, what I want. But who cares what God wants? Boys chasing every lust and every desire. No care what God wants for their life.
That's right.
No care what God has for them.
People used to make comments because I was over 35 years old and wasn't married yet. And I told them, I said, I wouldn't even get ready to get married until I was about 35, 36. I was enjoying life. Why would I want to ruin that? Then I got old and needed somebody to push me around in my wheelchair. I said, well, I better find a wife. So I started looking. Got married. I waited. I want you young people to listen to me. We went back to church for the first time ever. Last time was 4 Januarys ago. First time, 12 Januarys ago. Ironic. A young lady walked and sat down in front. And I wasn't a perverted pig like some of you. The Lord said, that's her.
Oh, glory, brother. Glory.
Some of you think God can't do that for you.
Yeah, I can.
God did it for me.
That's right.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Well, the more you probably know this, I talked to her dad that day. That's how convinced I was. He didn't sit real good with me. About 4 months later, he comes back and he says, you know, I think about my daughter. I said, oh, yeah. You sure it's the Lord's will? I said, well, I've changed my mind. Well, we've rethought that. I said, I thought you would. About a year and a half later, he said, okay, hey. I said, okay, let's get in the car, let's go. He said, no, wait, we're not waiting here. Amen. Rough, worst year of my life. I made the first phone call. I'm like, she's like, hi. I'm like, okay, let's get married. Let's go. I said, you can't do it. James Ireland. He started First Baptist Church in Berryville, Virginia. You remember from James Ireland? Persecuted for his faith, beaten in Culpeper, Virginia, hands slashed through the bars for preaching the gospel in Culpeper. James Ireland. Going through West Virginia to Philadelphia, the Philadelphia Convention, on horseback, stopped at Frederick Brown, the home of a preacher, spent the night, met his daughter on his way back through from Philadelphia, picked her up, took her home.
Amen.
True story. How long did he know her? One night. You know the Lord's will? And there's a little girl sitting there going, oh, I wish he'd noticed me. Oh, I wish he'd noticed me. Oh, I wish he'd noticed me. I said, all Baptist church were kind. Rebecca Stansley, we were at the Crown College, with the Museum of the Bibles and all that stuff they got, and their hall of fame with Zwingli and Calvin, all those great Christians, Knox, all these godly people that abused the Baptists.
And I look at this little girl sitting there at the fountain, little fat, just, guys walk by, you know, the preacher boys, all got their ties crooked, they walk real fast like they're hairy, you know, because they're working so hard in school, and I'm just laughing at them.
Girl sitting at the fountain just hoping they'll notice, just hoping they'll notice. By the way, most of them got noticed at some point. Even the ugly ones. There's hope. No concern what God's will is.
Amen.
Folks say, Brother McVeigh, I'm lost. Because you think it's not right.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
That's exactly right.
There's something in your mind that's against God. Mm-hmm. Something in your reasoning against God.
That's right.
You know why your will's not broken? You don't believe God.
That's right.
And I want to be real clear about this. Brother Morgan made that statement earlier concerning the will, God's will, your will. Listen, 114.5%, I agree with exactly what he said.
That's right.
That's the only reason people aren't saved.
That's right.
But they'll tell you why they're not saved.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to shame some of these folks here said this to me. I think I'm really close to getting saved. You're either saved or you're lost.
That's it.
You don't get close to repentance.
Yes, sir.
You need to put that thought in your mind, the devil. I think I'll get saved. Mm-hmm. Well, you could. If you would.
Yeah.
I'm really close. No, you're far off. Your sins and iniquities have hid his face from you.
Sir.
God cannot smile upon your life and sin in your life until your birth of God
He washes away your sins. That sin has separated you from God. Yep. You're no closer today than you were 10 years ago. And I know that's about as popular as a Chinese porcupine in the playroom. But that's the truth. I feel like I'm getting closer to getting saved.
In your thinking, yes. But in your life, absolutely not.
My seeking will save you.
No.
If I seek God enough, I'll get saved. No, he said they just have to repent.
Right. Amen.
Don't likewise perish. Do you know what the wicked do? With their vain imaginations, they conjure up something in their heart. How that they are going to somehow circumvent the person of Jesus Christ and slide in that back gate as a thief and as a robber. But Billy Mitchell, a great man of God, had the privilege to preach with him a couple of times. Thank God for Brother Mitchell. I learned more from him, probably 3 or 4 times preached with him. I learned probably 15 years around some people.
Amen.
What he said, for God to save you on your terms is for him to quit being God.
That's right.
For God to come off his throne to save you, he's not God. But yet at the same time, he's not a far away God. How far is he? Right here. How far are you? Is the earth. I think I'm getting closer.
That's what every lost person says. Look up in the wilds of Canada, tracking a moose. All of a sudden, the snow comes in, you can't find the moose. Bear with me. I want you to listen to me. Oh, I recognize that tree. Surely that's the right way. You know how many trees look the same. You know something they taught us in survival training? You mark your trail. And then they prove to us. You're heading the same direction the whole time. You're always going the right way. No compass. You're just figuring this out. Some guys 2, some guys 4, some guys 6 hours later. You know what they find? A little mark on the tree. And they go, I've been here before.
Amen.
You know what you've done? You walked in a circle. Still lost. Still no hope. But you walked in a circle.
The whole time telling yourself this, I'm heading in the right direction. I'm heading the right direction. You come around that corner, there's that tree again.
Got your little mark on it.
Kilroy was here. The devil's put seeds in people's minds. Lost people propagate thoughts to others. I've watched it. I've heard it. I've seen it. I've rebuked it. I've reproved it. You say, why would you say this stuff in the pulpit? Because the devil has an advantage on people already. They don't leave thoughts in their mind that other people are planting. The seeds that somehow we're going to obtain Christ without repentance. You know when that father ran to the prodigal? When he saw him.
Right.
You know when God will come to you? When he sees you.
And you turn.
That's right.
And you set your face towards home.
That's right.
Come to where you are.
I believe that's my son standing in this pulpit tonight.
Amen, brother.
I've heard too many stories of people said, I took that step out in the aisle and God saved me. I heard a man testify not too long ago. He said, when my knee hit the ground, God saved me.
I heard a woman late testified. Said she couldn't get out of the pew. She just grabbed her husband, pulled him down the floor with her, and said, pray for me, I'm lost. She said, the moment she said, I'm lost, God saved.
That's right. Believe that, buddy.
You know why? Because to get lost is when you get hopeless. As long as in your thinking there's some way out, you'll never be hopeless. You'll always have an escape. As long as your reasoning is always a way out, Jesus Christ wouldn't have to die for you. But yet he did. Because you have no way out. If I just do good, the age-old adage. If I just better myself, if I just clean up, if I just change, if I just seek God enough, if I just work harder, I can attain him. No. I tell you, except you repent, y'all likewise perish. Mm-hmm. I've said in this pulpit many times, it's afflicted many over the years. When did you repent? When were you just done?
Yeah. That's
right. Can I tell you when I repented? Now listen, I don't want to make a doctrine out of this, but I can tell you the place, and I can tell you about the time. I have a way to remember the time. God's given me that. I could take you up just south of Newmarket, Virginia, heading north on I-81. Show you a little stretch of road. Now has cables there instead of guardrail. Has cables on this side instead of guardrail. And I can tell you to place my little Toyota car on that flatbed tractor trailer, one of those Fruhoff trailers. And I realize if he comes over, he's going to crush my car. I'm going to die and I'm going to go to hell when I sin. And I can take you to that place. And I can show you and I can say, this is the place. That I came to the end of myself. This is the place I was done with Tim McVeigh. This is the way I was done with my thinking. This is the day I was finished with my ideology. And I turned to Jesus Christ by faith. And he gloriously, gloriously saved me in my car that day. But don't let this bother you. When you get it. My tobacco wouldn't send me to hell, was right, preacher. My sin was, right?
That's right.
I said my sin was. Mm-hmm. I remember when I repented. I remember when I was finished. And I believe all saved folk.
That's right.
Just sit
here.
How could someone that big come in, kick the devils out, fill you with joy unspeakable, mm-hmm. and full of glory, mm-hmm. and you not remember it?
It's impossible.
I remember it. You remember it?
Yes, sir.
Where were you sitting?
A couple rows back.
Amen. Son, where were you at?
Front row.
Hey. So where were you at?
Faith Baptist Camp.
Hey, man. But you were in the prayer room one day. Weirdo. Weirdo. Like that, yes. But his dad addressed the way, what was a weirdo? You come over here? Well, let him close you. You remember where?
Mm-hmm.
Right where? About midnight. It's strange, he knows where he was. Oh, this is when I prayed the prayer. No, I said, when did God come
here? Amen.
Where were you, sir?
1238 Bluff Road, Columbia, South Carolina.
Amen.
Amen. January 13th.
I'm going to have to ask you.
I was on I-77.
Outside of Bojangles.
First person hit me, I say, Bojangles parking lot.
If we asked you next year, wouldn't it be good to say I was sitting in the Living Waters Baptist
Church? That's right. Wouldn't that be something?
The Holy Ghost passed by. Brought me to repentance. And I was done. I was finished. All my reasonings out the window. And the entrance of thy word giveth light.
and he flooded my heart with joy. He gave me of his spirit, he gave me peace. My life's never been the same.
That's right.
You said God wouldn't do that for me.
Yeah, he could. That's part of the problem. They don't believe it.
Well, I'm gonna tell Brother Morgan the story because all of you probably know it. But I'm just different. I don't know how to be different. I don't know how to do things properly. I was at Food Lion last July. They had red, white, and blue Twinkies on sale. That 4th of July, I'm clear. I mean, like $1.50 a box or something. I bought everything they had. So I got the pulpit here, started throwing Twinkies out. Says Twinkie Night. Patriotic Twinkie Night. Started throwing Twinkie Night. Started chucking Twinkies around. Friday night, old Michael over there comes up and says, I want you to know Tuesday night, God saved me. Remind me later, it's Twinkie Night. Now let me ask a question. Now, you say, what does this have to do with anything? What's going to do? How many of you all were here for Twinkie Night that have been saved since Twinkie Night? Mm. Just raise your hand high.
Yeah.
The brown one. You say, I wouldn't throw Twinkies around the church. It's not as a Twinkie. But if they agree, God,
that was the great God.
It didn't greet him one bit. You know why? Because he's holy and he saves to the uttermost. You know what God's concerned with? He's concerned with a sinner. He's not concerned with Twinkies. Now, had it been ho-hos, or to Michael, it wouldn't have been revival. It was the Twinkies. I'll send you pictures. I'll be the store. I'll be Christmas Twinkies. I'll send them to him. He'll say, no.
on their birthday, his wife sent me a picture of that.
Amen. Home, right? Amen. Now, you say, I wouldn't have done that. I said, didn't give God one bit. It had nothing to do with the Twinkies. It just made it memorable. I said, just made it memorable. I'm rambling right now, just waiting. I'm like Brother Morgan. I feel so pressed out of measure. I don't know what to say or do. I got to just shut up. Let God work in your life.
Amen.
Wouldn't it be wonderful to be saved?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be wonderful for that burden of sin to be gone?
It is.
Just lay it down.
It's wonderful.
I'll say, I will. I will.
Oh, brother.
It's not a manifestation of the work of the flesh. It's in your soul. You can say, I will right now. Or 2 seconds. I will.
Come on, man. Good.
Let's stand, if you will. We're going to sing page 81.
Just as I am.
Just as I am.